We're going to shift now into the worship time and the sermon time. Back in May of 1971, two musicians, musical theater people with ties to Pittsburgh, John Michael Tebelak and Stephen Swartz, were there in the creation of an off-Broadway version of the musical Godspell, which opened just over 40 years ago. We'll hear more about both of them. I just want a quick show of hands. How many of you know the music to Godspell? All right, that's a good start. So I have to explain to your neighbors that don't. But this was one of the earliest musical representations of the gospel. After Godspell, later on, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice did Jesus Christ Superstar, and there were a few movies, but this was very much a cutting edge and an entirely new expression of the faith as it linked with culture and the young society. So we're going to hear a couple songs that are interspersed also with some scripture readings. This is the first song. It's the duet, Learn Your Lessons Well.
I can see a swath of sinners sitting yonder, and they're acting like a pack of fools. Gazing into space, they let their minds so wander instead of studying the good Lord's rules. You better pay attention, build your comprehension. There's gonna be a quiz at your ascension, not to mention any threat of hell. But if you're smart, you'll learn your lessons well.
Every bright description of the promised land meant you can reach it if you keep alert. Learning every line and every last commandment may not help you, but it couldn't hurt. First you gotta read 'em, then you gotta heed 'em. You never know when you are gonna need 'em. Just as old Elijah said to Jezebel, you better start to learn your lessons well.
I can see a swath of sinners sitting yonder, and they're acting like a pack of fools. Gazing into space, they let their minds wander instead of studying the good God's rules. You better pay attention, build your comprehension. There's gotta be a quiz at your ascension, not to mention any threat of hell. But if you're smart, you learn your lessons well. Just as old Eliza said to Jezebel, you better start to learn your lessons well.
Two readings from Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree is bad and its fruit is bad. The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure. The evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. And while he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak with him. And someone told Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. But to the one who said this to him, Jesus replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
When you feel sad or under a curse, your life is bad, your prospects are worse. Your wife is sighing, crying, and your olive tree is dying. Temples are graying and teeth are decaying and creditors weighing your purse. Your mood and your robe are both a deep blue. You bet that Job had nothing on you. I don't forget that when you get to heaven, you'll be blessed. Yes, it's all for the best.
Some men are born to live at ease, doing what they please, richer than the bees are in honey. Never growing old, never feeling cold, pulling pots of gold from thin air. The best in every town, best at shaking down, best at banking mountains of money. They can't take it with them, but what do they care? They get the center of the meat, cushions on the seat, houses on the street where it's sunny. Summer's by the sea, winter's warm and free, all of this and we get the rest. But who is the land for, the sun and the sand for? You guessed, it's all for the best.
Here we go.
Some men are born to live at ease, doing what the peace richer than the peace are in honey.
Your life is
never
bad.
Growing old, never feeling cold, pulling cups of gold from thin air.
Your wife
the
is
best
sighing,
every town, best crying, down, best making
and your olive
money.
Tree is dying.
They can't take
grain,
it with
teeth
them,
of decaying,
but what do they care?
Your
they get the
your
center of the meat, cushions on the seat, houses on the street
blue.
Where it's sunny.
You bet that your
by the sea, winter's warm and free, all of this and we get the rest. But who is the land for, the sun and the sand for? You guess, it's all for the...
You must never be distressed.
Yes, it's all for the...
All your wrongs will be redressed.
Yes, it's all for the...
Someone's got to be oppressed.
Yes, it's all for the best.
Again, a reading from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus came to his hometown and began to teach the people in the synagogue, so that they were astounded, and they said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And are not all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own country and in their own house." And Jesus did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief.
Turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. All now is earth, and none may count her days. Da 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 da. Yet thou, her child, whose head is crowned with flame, still will not hear thine inner God proclaim. Oh, there's so many of you. Turn back, O man, where are the men up here? Turn back, O man, hiya, sweetie. Turn back, O man, I love your dress. Forswear thy foolish ways. Earth might be fair, and all men glad and wise. Age after age, their tragic empires rise. Da-da-da-da-da. Built while they dream, and in that dreaming weep. What man but wake from out his haunted sleep? Turn back, O man, get the picture? Turn back, O man, can you see from where you're sitting? Turn back, O man, hiya, big boy, forswear thy foolish ways.
Earth shall be fair, and all her people one. Not till that hour shall God's whole will be done. Now, even now, once more from earth to sky, peals forth in joy man's old undaunted cry. Earth shall be fair, and all her people one.
Turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. All now is earth, and none may count her days. Da-da-da-da-da, yet thou, her child, whose head is crowned with flame, still will not hear thine inner God proclaim. Turn back, O man, turn back, O man, turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. Play it, honey!
We did that whole deal just so I could play that song. Let us pray. Loving God, once more we gather to be reminded of your grace, but to hear your word. So by your Spirit, move in our midst. Open our hearts that we may hear and respond, and then go forth as your people, your children. So be with us now, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd love to tell you everything about John Michael Tebelek, a young man with ties here in Pittsburgh. He was a 22-year-old master's degree student who was attending Carnegie Mellon University when about 40 years ago he became inspired to compose Godspell, one of the most pivotal and popular musicals ever produced on Broadway. But in truth, I really only have time to share one anecdote about him. Tebelek was struggling with coming up with a master's thesis idea. And so he stopped reading Greek and Roman mythology, which had been his main area, and he picked up and read through the Gospels. And he was struck by the joy inherent in the Gospel stories. And so he decided that Easter morning to go to the early service at St. Paul's Cathedral near the campus. And this is back in 1970. He was wearing his usual student outfit of overalls and a t-shirt. And it happened to snow that morning, which was odd. And it seemed to put everyone in a bad mood. When he got into the service, as he described it, quote, an old priest came out and mumbled into a microphone, and people mumbled things back to him. And at the end, everyone simply got up and left. Instead of celebrating Christ's resurrection, it seemed to him that people had pushed Jesus back into the tomb. But as Tebelek was preparing to leave, a policeman who'd been seated a couple rows in front of him actually stopped him and asked to frisk him, thinking that he'd only come to church to escape the snowstorm and that he was possibly carrying drugs. The absurd incident angered Tebelek so much that he immediately knew what he wanted to do his master's thesis on. And he went back and he told his advisors that he wanted to rediscover the simple, joyful quality of the Gospels and represent the sense of loving community that he had seen around Christ Jesus. So by the fall of that year, on the campus of CMU, Tebelek's group began presenting early versions of Godspell. It then moved to Off-Off-Broadway in New York. In May 71, it opened on Off-Broadway, and at that point, Stephen Schwartz, another CMU grad, was asked to compose music, and he composed many of the songs that you heard. And then, as they say, the rest is history. On that Easter day in 1970, Tebelek commented that instead of rolling the rock away from the tomb of Jesus, the people in church appeared to be piling more on. And that's not an uncommon criticism. We're often asked, where is the joy in our worship? Where is the visible, tangible joy in leading lives of following Christ? And in the same way, like we heard from the reading in Matthew's Gospel, we wonder, why do people take offense at Jesus, questioning how this carpenter's son from Nazareth could possibly be the Son of God? Now, those are all big questions. And to offer a partial answer, I must first say something that is somewhat unpopular. But if you stay with me, it's something whose message is both at the heart of the gospel and at the heart of God's spell. Question: how do human beings, or can human beings, achieve perfection? If you awake every morning and you tell yourself, each and every day, I am getting better in every way, is that a true and realistic statement? I believe in my heart that we can learn from our mistakes. I believe that we can improve our lot and we can grow in moral knowledge and self-control. But I don't believe we ever come close to attaining perfection. I'm Presbyterian, for goodness sake. Calvinism, Puritanism, sin and depravity, it's in our bones. So contrary to the mantras that are built around the power of positive thinking, or even just the starry belief that the human race is perfectible, I would offer a more chastened philosophy. Yes, I still welcome the dawn's light and the promise and the potential of each new day. But it should be noted that we are sadly incapable of not doing wrong. We are incapable of not doing wrong. Now, that may not seem like a great slogan for church evangelism, but it's true. The Apostle Paul put it this way: I do not do the good that I want, but the very evil I do not want is what I do. O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, if you're familiar with Godspell, if you're familiar with Stephen Schwartz's lyrics, in many ways, the message of Godspell at its heart is not that upbeat and that rosy. The musical opens with John the Baptist uttering his cry into the wilderness, calling for repentance, saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then it moves to songs that are characterized as prophetic words of repentance and warning. The ladies that sang, "I can see a swath of sinners setting yonder, and they're acting like a pack of fools, gazing into space and letting their minds wander instead of studying the good Lord's rules. You better pay attention, build your comprehension. There's going to be a quiz at your ascension, and not to mention any threat of hell, but you better start to learn your lessons well." After that came the cynical tap dance, the song that talks about how some people seem to be born to live at ease, doing what they please, richer than the bees are in honey, pulling pots of gold from thin air. And how for everyone else, well, there's the promise that in heaven you'll be blessed. Because on earth, well, someone has to be wealthy. This song could be the theme song for the current budget talks in Washington. Those who wrongly insist that raising tax revenues on the wealthiest is somehow an affront to God and the nation. But as the musical continues, interspersed with the songs, "Turn back, O man," are parables that talk about light and darkness and the sheep and the goats and choosing good while rejecting evil. What's distinctive about Godspell is not so much its message, because ultimately it's a fairly conservative, straightforward theology. What was distinctive was its medium. The gospel story was then acted out by a group of young people who painted their faces as if they were in a circus, who juggled and carried hand puppets, who danced and sang, and who splashed in a fountain freshly baptized and swept along by the movement of the Holy Spirit. The joy of Christ's gospel. Unlike Tebelec's memory of people bundled up on Easter morning, who hurried into church, who murmured their lines and then exited back out to the snowy streets, stopping only to frisk an unsavory character who had wandered inside the doors, Godspell is a musical about sunlight and color. It's about laughter and movement and ensemble pieces. And mostly, it's about thanksgiving, about attitudes of gratitude. No, we do not live in the best of all possible worlds. And in many ways, we human beings are not the source of the ones that are trying to do everything that's right. We are incapable of not doing wrong. But the good news, the gospel part, says that as we strive to do what is right, we're not alone. We are not the sole source for truth, for beauty, for love in this world. Far from it. We are actually the recipients of a world we did not make. We are the recipients of a Creator who loves us, who's blessed us, who parents us and disciplines us and challenges us and elicits what's best in us and forgives us when we stumble. As the Godspell song says, all good gifts around us come from heaven above. Then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for God's love. That's what's so ironic about the passage from Matthew 13, in which Jesus is teaching in his hometown synagogue. Here's the local boy who's made good. The carpenter's son, whose reputation has preceded him into the Nazareth synagogue, and he is known by the community as a teacher, as a rabbi, as a miracle worker. In the string of questions in this gospel story, notice which question is asked twice. In the passage, it says, "Where did this man get his wisdom and these deeds of power? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't Mary his mother? Aren't his brothers Simon, James, Joseph, and Judas? Aren't his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of this?" The people in Nazareth know Jesus' story, and they recognize that he's able to do wondrous things. But they don't go the next step. They don't draw any inferences from this larger information about him. And that's why twice they asked, where did Jesus get all of his wisdom? Where did he get his power and authority? And at the same time, they refused to accept an answer that those gifts came from God, that the Creator of the world had broken into the world in a life-transforming way, and that a new gospel was being proclaimed to the people. Instead of responding with joy, they too bundled themselves up, closed themselves off with anger, and took offense and refused to believe. The presence of Jesus Christ requires that we ask fundamental questions about ourselves, but even more so about the world, about good and evil, about what it means to be the church, about what it means to live in community. We may tell ourselves that our human reason, intelligence, creativity is able to do much that is good, and that in each and every way, in every day, we are getting better and better. But there is much to remind us that there is folly in putting all of our store, all of our confidence in human capacity. The shootings in Oslo, the arguing in Washington, the corrupt Marcellus Shale negotiations, the democracy movements being squelched in Syria and around the world. And so instead of assuming we have all the answers, we do move to the other end of the spectrum. We acknowledge that we do not always do what is best for ourselves and for the world. Yet having said that, having located ourselves there, we look around. And it's in that spot that Christ has come. It's in that spot Christ appears and offers us the capacity to draw near to Him. And so there we read the gospel testimony again, and we're struck by the optimism and joy of the Easter message. We hear about a life and a death, about a cross and a tomb, and we consider it in our own hearts, and we too pause and say, well, where then did this man get this wisdom? Where then did this ability, this power, this authority come from? And by grace we are able to answer from God, from a creator, from the sustainer, from the spirit that surrounds all life. And in that moment, we see the difference between life and capital L life, between church and capital C church, between the world and God's capital W world. And with that realization, suddenly we all become Godspell cast members. We know then that we're loved, that we're saved by grace, that sin and violence and brokenness and impartial human answers do not have the final word. And when we realize that in our hearts, it causes us to smile, to paint our faces, to juggle, to dance, to splash in fountains, to sing praises, to gather for prayer, to go out into the world as fools and jesters and prophets, and as Godspell gospel singers. Jesus was teaching one day when he was interrupted by someone that said, "Hey, your mother and your family are outside wanting to speak to you." And Jesus graciously and generously said, Here is my mother, here is my family. Whoever does the will of the one in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother." And that's the invitation for today. It's the invitation to be part of this Godspell cast of characters. It's a call to be part of Christ's grand musical drama of this life. So then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all God's love. Amen. Let's come before God with a time of prayer, and then at the end we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we have been awakened into a world that we did not create. And we've moved into this space and are surrounded by others who, like us, you've called, some that we know, some that we don't. But within this space, there are many stories and there are many needs. There are thoughts and concerns on our hearts. So as we've opened our eyes and stepped into a world of your making, Lord, we entrust our concerns and our prayers to you. For just as you provide for our daily needs with warmth and water, with sunshine, with evening and rain, with the seasons, you've also promised to hear when we lift up our concerns to you. So first, Lord, we pray for the larger world. We pray wherever there is disaster, where there is violence being done to the land, where the resources are being destroyed, that you would guide us in ways that are more in keeping with your will. Bring comfort and solace to those struggling in places of flooding and fire. Bring safety and encouragement and strength to those who are working for change and protection. Continue to be with the people in the Gulf Coast, the families and the friends that our work trip have met during their recent trip. But go beyond there to throughout the United States and the world, to the people in Malawi, and give them safety politically and economically, to the people in the Middle East and Palestine struggling without a home, for those in the Scandinavian countries grieving with the violence and the tragic deaths. Lord, also be with us in our own nation as we strive to live together. Be with those in power that they have authority to do that which is just in keeping with your will. Protect the stranger and the homeless. Provide for the weak, those without a voice. ensure that all children can have access to solid education, to safety and home, to adequate food and shelter. Be with all the elderly, those that are ill this day, and where diagnoses have been given that are hard to hear, of cancer and fibromyalgia, of chronic heart disease, of disability. Lord, be a comforting voice and a presence, saying that even in your weakness, my grace is made perfect, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. And let our time together be a reflection of the gospel, that in our laughter and in our tears, in our times of sharing and our times of silence, we may be strengthened anew, reminded that Christ, who lived, has died for us and been raised for us, that in him all might be well. So, Lord, make us into your church, your people of joy, your disciples of the gospel, and use our gifts to your glory, for in that is our true happiness, in that is our deepest calling. Bless us now and hear us as we are bold to offer the words you've taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.